You know, Boss Man G, Grant Parks, producer extraordinaire, DJ extraordinaire, was in the background nodding his head vigorously. That indeed, yes, it is a very, very white activity.
Yes.
All right, so white activities, some football, Jordan Duck, and much more on the way right here on Talking About Practice. We start right now.
We're talking about practice. Not a game, not a game, not a game.
Of course, Gerald Gilbert in the building. Alongside me, as always, co-creator, fellow bartender extraordinaire, the former bearded bandito, Derek Isamaki.
That's my Chewbacca impression.
Wow. Okay.
For this, terrible, I know. Wow. I don't have one. So I'm putting you guys on the spot right now. I want everyone's best Chewbacca impression right now. What the best you got?
Brad?
May the 4th be with you right now. He can do that, yeah.
All right, not bad.
That's like a sensual Chewbacca right there. That's a sad Chewbacca. That's like a I'm a morning Chewbacca. All
right.
That or I'm trying to appeal to a lady Chewbacca.
I couldn't do that.
That's like a turtle dove right there.
Let me try. All right, the sensual Chewbacca, a.k.a. the Game Killer, a.k.a. Brad Feingold, a.k.a. Statman Brad.
Yeah, you.
All right.
I'm always jealous of people that can do a Chewbacca. Because I'm not...
So you're jealous of me right now is what you're
saying?
Well,
no, because
it took years of practice, to be honest. I started when I was, like, maybe 10 or 11.
I mean, being of Hispanic descent, not being able to roll my R's the way that they can, it's demoralizing, to say it in the least. I feel like I'm not in touch with my roots because I cannot roll my R's. And
does it feel worse since I was able to do it?
Yeah, a little bit.
Probably
it
the
does.
Whitest
yeah,
guy
no
on
doubt.
The show.
It hurts. Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely
good.
Out there.
Good.
So, great way to start the show.
Solid. Solid indeed.
Let me reminisce in my shortcomings.
Well, do we want to reminisce some more in your golf game?
There we go. Let's keep it going. This rabbit hole is yet to end right now.
So I'm enjoying the tradition we have, going golfing before the show.
Yes.
And
I am as well.
We, in lieu of the last dance and the gambling that was...
We actually didn't do that, though.
No, we didn't do last and unemployment paychecks. No, but I actually...
He was juiced to go to this place. And,
he really was.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, I wondered how long it was going to take.
It was crazy. So a couple things that obviously that jumped out was Jordan talking about Kobe, talking about how he's going to take all the shots, and talking about him, how he's going to come out, he's going to come after him and go one on one, and talking about him in with a sense of respect, where he was kind of trash talking, but it came from a place of respect. And he said, if that boy shoots four times in a row, or misses four shots in a row, he's going to take the fifth. He's like, if he's playing on my team, he better get the rebound if his ass wants to shoot again. I thought that was really, really cool. And you being a Kobe fan, you know, he's your favorite player of all time. Derek, what was your takeaway from that?
I mean, it was definitely interesting to see that interaction. You've definitely heard about their relationship. You've never really seen a whole lot of it other than just, you always just see the superficial stuff, you know, the stuff that they would let you see. Stuff that you weren't privy to. But I feel like it's, you always get the most superficial of it. And this is the most real I think we've seen for the most part. As and certainly its longevity and what it's providing and its insight into Michael Jordan, which, you know, he's making a mistake again as the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
A very calculated move by him right now. He's making his mark on the world to say, hey, all you youngins that are loving LeBron, nope. I'm better. And this documentary has certainly, it is nice to see that true, that a certain genuineness inside the locker room of them talking.
Yes.
That is definitely appreciative. And I wish there could have been more than just the 10-minute introduction of that episode for that one time, but they have a lot to cram into a small space, and that's what she said.
God, you had to go.
I was holding that one back too.
I thought that there were so many things that I found interesting about this. I haven't learned a whole lot from watching this documentary. I've read books about Jordan. I've seen, you know, Come Fly With Me and stuff like that. What I am enjoying, however, is getting to feel like I know the man a lot more, because we never really kind of saw this side of Jordan. He was always so buttoned up, i.e. another Nike ambassador, Tiger Woods, who never really said anything controversial.
And until a three wood came in his back window.
Okay. Yes.
Point. Maybe a pitch.
All right. No take reds, Jero.
Anywho. And sponsorship. But what I found interesting, and I was talking to Brad about this on the way to golf, so we can get golf in. Until this past year, but I get it. Anyway, in this country, we spend so much time building athletes and celebrity up to godlike levels, to levels that no human can possibly reach, just to tear them down. And this has been something that I've been conscious of since I was a kid, and I've never really understood why we did it. And I thought it was kind of cool to see, you know, Jordan saying the famous quote, everybody. Facility. There's a crowd waiting for him. He gets to the training facility. There's a crowd waiting for him. He gets into the training facility. He's taking pictures, you know, 15, 20 minutes before, and then an hour after. Leaves, taking more, you know, just the constant need that people had for him. And I just thought that was an interesting look because we know it, right? We all know that, yeah, these celebrities, this is what they have to deal with. This is their cross to bear. But I think to actually see it in like that was just kind of confirmed everything we know, and on a certain level made me feel bad for Jordan. Did you feel that at all?
I mean, there's a certain point in there when you're seeing a guy who feel like he's just kind of fed up with that. Say the cross to bear. I feel like that's a kind of, it's for me, it's a little too heavy to say that because, like, dude, man, like, what? Getting catered to left and right, having people want to be with you and whatnot, being the focal of attention, that's kind of what you get when you get to be this place. And, like, as much as I want to feel for the guy, I look more at us as a society that we have such a constant need for someone of his nature when it's like, yeah, he's an amazing basketball player, but, I mean, that's it. You know, he's a basketball player, you know? And we just go cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs for this guy that it's such a tough life. I don't think I would never want that. Like, mm-hmm. Fame is never something I've ever, like, truly sought after. Sure. You've always talked about that. I would never want to have to be mobbed everywhere you go. That would be tedious. That would be so tedious. And having to be on all the time? No, I'm barely on, and I don't have to deal with that. Like, even when I'm paid to be on, I'm barely on, you know? So I can imagine when you have the face of an organization of the NBA. You're the face of the NBA. That is a huge burden you're carrying.
You're the face of Americana at that time, really.
I mean, pop culture.
You are for sure. You represent everything that's cool and everything that is American at that time,
yes.
Right? I found it interesting them talking about how Jordan didn't want to take the meeting with Nike. That was something I never knew. That was pretty cool. And his mom made him, and he got
really
paid.
Really advice from your mother. Always listen to your mother, guys.
Right?
Always listen to your mothers.
So most people were getting deals, shoe deals for around 100K. Superstars were. Here this rookie comes in, gets his own signature shoe. And they said if in the first year or first 3 years they can make $3 million back. That was kind of Nike's goal.
I thought it was within the first year they could make $3 million.
Okay, yeah, it was the first year.
I think it was within the first year, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And he signed it for $250K, so he made more than doubled what everyone else is making.
well. Speaking of the Nikes, so Jordan's first like misstep, I want to say, I don't even want to call it a misstep, but one quote that a lot of people remember was Jordan once was quoted as saying, Republicans buy Nikes too. Now, this was around the time that there was a lot of pressure on Jordan to back, was it governor?
Senator.
Senator. Yeah. And it was Harvey Grant. Was it Harvey Grant?
That's it.
Yeah.
Harvey Grant.
Was it really Harvey Grant? I feel like that's a character in Batman.
You're right. I like it. And he would have been the first African-American senator of Georgia. Is that correct?
North Carolina.
Thank you. I should have wrote this down, but it was 5 in the morning when I was watching this. Anyway, and Jordan responded to that by saying that he never viewed himself as an activist when you think of people like Muhammad Ali. He just thought of himself as a basketball player, and he made a charitable donation, but he never came out publicly and gave his support for Harvey Grant. So in response to that, he said he was kind of saying it in jest on the bus with a couple other guys and said, you know, Republicans buy Nikes too. And your thoughts on this were what, Derek? Because I have some thoughts as well I want to get to.
I definitely think it's kind of a tough, even more of an added pressure to this guy who is a icon. I think it's also – that's a tough ask for him to do. And to force someone to do that, I feel, is even the worst thing to do. Mm-hmm. Someone has to want to do that. They have to have the desire to do that, because when they have that desire, they have a desire to actually find out, dig into it. Instead of if you're forcing someone to do it, they're not going to take it seriously. And when it comes to stuff like that, I understand his point of view. Like he was, like I said, he just said he was a basketball player. That's all he was. He wasn't trying to be what Muhammad Ali was.
Right.
And if you don't have that in you, I don't think you can fault the guy for not wanting to do that. So in that aspect, I felt that the documentary, in a certain way, tried to make him paint a bad light, especially bringing in the likes of President Barack Obama, which I appreciated the fact they actually put president in there. There was a big scandal going on when they first brought him on in the first episode.
Former resident of Chicago.
Yeah, he got his due diligence this time. And bringing down, like, he should have done this. Like, as a black man, you have this extra responsibility and stuff. And I just feel that that's a tough ask for somebody. Yes, he isn't in the easiest position right now, but it's not the easiest position right now. He has know what they were.
Yeah.
And they're not even, you know.
I think you made a great point there, Derek, in the fact that if it's not in you, we once you reach a certain status, we expect you almost to also be an advocate. Justice and equality and all those things. And I don't think that's fair. And it's oftentimes fellow African Americans expecting that, and I don't think that's fair. If that's not something that you're knowledgeable in, that's not something that you may even be interested in, I don't think we should ask you to be. I understand asking for thoughts, but if you don't really have any, I think it's okay to say I don't know, or you know,
I'm not informed enough on this position to make a comment.
American athletes, we just expect them always to cape up and, you know, say the thing that is an unfortunate and difficult burden for these athletes to have to bear. They not only do they have to be, you know, professionals and great at their sport, But they also have to be an ambassador for everything that's black. I think that's pretty unfair for us to ask. And I thought that it was always overblown when Jordan said that, because I always understood his point. Yeah, I'm not, I may have opinions on this, but I'm not going to share them because I don't want to mess up my money. And I honestly have no problem with that. Look what Colin Kaepernick did. Yes, did he make a point? Was he the middle of, you know, national attention for almost a year there? Absolutely. Did he shed a light onto, you know, a lot of social injustices? He certainly did. Was it worth it for him? There's no way to actually tell, but I mean, the guy lost his job and the potential of millions of dollars and the thing he had been working his entire life to, because he wanted to make a statement. He did. But the cost was his career. And how different are we viewing Jordan if he was more of a social activist? I don't know. But as it stands, we view him as the greatest athlete of all time.
One way to make sure that doesn't happen is making sure that, you know, your personal opinions that don't really matter, at least feel like you aren't really fully versed in them or feel like they don't need to be out there, don't let them dictate anything.
Mm-hmm.
And, obviously there's many detractors to Muhammad Ali and what he has done, so he's definitely earned a certain reputation. But at the same time, like, it's unfair for – it is such a tough – these athletes, black athletes, are really pigeonholed that you have to do this, essentially. And if you don't, and maybe you come out the other way, if you maybe say anything that's not. And hey, man, good on you for standing for what you wanted to do, and that's where the route you wanted to take. Jordan, again, like you probably said, is not the guy, the greatest athlete of all time, easiestly able to discuss that without doing what the stances that he took, you know?
Yeah, I totally agree. And yeah, I found that interesting. It was just kind of cool to see it from Jordan's perspective. And like I said,
he never went without his means. That's
some of his like poorer teammates, so to speak, and went up and played poker for a couple dollars. And he asked, like, why are you playing with us? He's like, because I want to make sure I have your money in my pocket. And so it came down to competition through and through for him, like you said. So I thought that was a great point, that even on the plane, he'd actually go over to his teammates playing at the lower table just to make sure that he beat them and then went back to the high-end table.
Drew has this very confused look on him right now. I feel like he's been putting out a fire for the past 5 minutes.
I've been trying to tee something up for us. Sorry.
Okay. Is it teed up yet, or do you need to keep going down this gambling road?
No, we can move on.
We can move on?
Yeah, okay. We can finally move on.
Sweet.
We have news on the way, so that'll be fun. Once again, this is Talking About Practice, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show. Our underwriters here, Chico Paper Company in downtown Chico for over 40 years, located at 4th and Broadway. Chico Paper Company features an on-site custom framing. Thank you for spending an hour of your evening with this foolishness as we kind of meander around here with no actual live sports to talk about and spend 25 minutes talking about a documentary about a time that happened 24 years ago. You're welcome, America. We're here for you.
Dude, my ears are tingling right now.
Happy Marshawn Monday, everybody.
Come back next year?
Sure, we'll see what's happening.
Sure.
So, I'll say like this, though, right? It's a vulnerable time for a lot of these young dudes, you feel me? They don't be taking care of their chicken right, you feel me? So, if it was me, or if I had an opportunity to let these little young sahabs know something, I say take care of your money, African, because that shit don't last forever. Now, I done been on the other side of a retirement, and it's good when you get over there and you can do what the you want to. So, I tell y'all right now, while y'all in it, take care of y'all bread. So when y'all done, you go ahead and take care of yourself. So while y'all at it right now, take care of y'all bodies. You know what I mean? Don't take care of y'all chicken. You feel me? Don't take care of y'all mentals, because look, we ain't lasting that long. Bodies and y'all chicken when y'all, you know, ready to walk away.
Your moment, but I wanted to shout out some underdogs, and what I mean by underdogs. I'm not wearing basketball shorts, and I just really started to appreciate these things recently. For example, soap. That's awesome. Makes life better, more sanitary. Could have helped prevent the spread of coronavirus. Who invented that? So I thought today I'd shout out an underdog, George Crumb, African-American inventor who invented the potato chip. I love potato chips, so thank you, George Crumb.
Best snack out there. I'm putting my hands down on that.
Chips are always just—it's solid.
It's all go-to, baby.
Yeah, they go. They work well.
Though.
Yeah, they do. They are.
You know what? We're in this category now. Team me up some grinds gears, please.
Bag of chips is air.
What are you doing to me, too? Give me a smaller bag if that's the case right now. I don't need this much air in my bag of chips right now. I don't want to be deceived that when my hand goes halfway down the bag, I should be halfway done with the bag. No, I'm instead just starting the bag when my hand goes halfway through the bag. Bologna as well. Sorry, chips.
That's fine.
I still love them, though. I mean, I'll still go back. They're like an abusive lover. I just can't say no to them. You know, they treat me dirty every single time. I know what to expect. Jeez. At the end of every bag. And I still go back to them.
All right.
Well, then. Fair.
You want to update the people on the news going around the world?
Let's do it.
All right.
When news breaks in the tri-state area or the world.
Breaking news, breaking news. Derek Isamaki has breaking news.
That is right, y'all. Time for the news. Now, in these times of... Am I finally on right now?
Yes, you are.
Sorry, I clicked the second one, not the third one.
All right, y'all, it's time for the news. Starting off strong. In these trying times of doing work from home, one must always be careful of the work surroundings. And when I say your work surroundings, I mean your home at this point in time. When you are in front of your computer, you must make sure that what is behind you is usually acceptable for a workday environment. A half-naked woman walking past is not acceptable. When that half-naked woman walking past you is not your well-known girlfriend, it's even worse.
Yep.
Ooh. Alfonso Merlos. Shame on you. You, actually, I mean, he, unfortunately, got caught while he was performing his news anchor job when a woman walked by that was scantily clad, half naked, and again, like I said, was not his well-known girlfriend of Marta Lopez. Instead, it was 27-year-old Alexia Rivas, and this guy is 41, so actually, I take it back. Good on you, Alfonso. 27. Man. I will say, speaking of looking good in old age, Pat Riley, oh my gosh.
Yes. Zaddy. Summer Fox.
Oh my goodness.
Total zaddy.
Whoa, baby.
Total zaddy.
I understand, ladies.
Yes, sir.
earthquakes and the occasional cockroach that screams across my floor. But now you're going to tell me I got to start worrying about murder hornets? What? What? I've seen those things in action, man. No thank you. As someone who is not deathly allergic to bees, but someone who does not have a very fun reaction when gets stung by a bee, a wasp, anything of that nature, I don't like being stung. I really don't, y'all. Honestly, the bees are probably one of my biggest fears in life. Like, I do not like being around them. I've learned to calm myself, but their fear is still there, very much so. Now I got to worry about murder hornets. These things are massive. I've seen him. I saw a guy get stung by one of them, and he survived. So everyone's saying you die from it. Book it, y'all. But yes, after multiple of those things, oh my goodness! Apparently, they're really bad because they actually are destroying bees. They're chopping off their heads. It's actually quite vicious the way they go about their life. When I say vicious, I honestly want to say awesome too, because it is crazy because they're massive. These things are like 8 bees combined, if that. 10 bees combined, honestly. More than that. They need to swarm these bad boys. Murder hornets. They've been spotted in Washington. Luckily, the scientists are on it, but they were on the coronavirus.
And... yeah, they're really vicious. I mean, those are my only stats. But also another thing. Can you give me another Pat Riley? Just say his name really quick.
Pat Riley.
There you go. There's your second.
Also, sorry, one last thing I need to do because it is May 4th. And May the 4th be with you all. Love Star Wars. I found this new way to watch the movie trilogies that are not the chronological way or the way they were released. We all know how that turns out. This way actually is something that sounds like fun. It throws away episode 1, which you don't need anymore. It's
good.
And then it goes to Attack of the Clones, A New Hope. I'm sorry, Attack of the Clones, Revenge of the Sith, A New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi. I'm sorry, I take it back. I read that all wrong. It starts with A New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, then you go to Attack of the Clones, then Revenge of the Sith, and then Return of the Jedi.
Huh.
So it's kind of like you start off with Luke, then you go back to Anakin halfway through your... It doesn't really do much for the backstory. It's called the Machete Order. Don't know why it's called that. I just found that online. But the Machete Order. Look it up, y'all. It's if you're into Star Wars and a big fan of it, you'll.
I meant that as a compliment because we're all looking to kill some time. Yeah.
It's better than the game killer, so.
In my defense, I'm not a game killer, Brad, so like.
All right, Aaron, so we got a couple games we wanted to play, and I thought bringing you on for this portion of the show might be a little fun. So one thing we've been doing, and I don't know if you've been prepped on this at all, so good luck. But
of course not, please.
We have been picking our golfing foursome. So 3 plus us, as you know, you've done the show with us before.
Right.
And this week we're doing Star Wars characters. So since...
Oh, yeah, okay.
life. Boba Fett, not anymore. The Mandalorian takes the cake. Finding out, rounding out the foursome right now, going to be none other than the beautiful Padme. Okay, I mean, come on, Natalie Portman. Please,
good
thank
for you.
Okay. And
good for you.
We're good to go.
Okay,
she's in my card too.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm going to go, I'm going to start off with Lando Calrissian.
Ooh, solid.
Yeah.
He's just smooth.
Yeah.
Lando. And I think he'd be good on the golf course.
Kind of a backstabber, sort of a betrayer, but you know.
That's the type of person. I'm also going to take Rey. I think I think, you know, she's cute. She can swing that little lightsaber around. Probably translates into swinging a club. Anyone? Is that fair? Yeah?
Yeah,
I get it. I get it.
Side the point.
Right,
so she's not my foursome, so, you know.
No, it's not your foursome. It's my foursome. Yeah. And then I'm going to take Han Solo. He's just a fun guy. I think he's going to be sarcastic, talking crap the whole time. Chewbacca will probably be our caddy, so be a good time. So that's my foursome. Aaron, are you prepared?
I am. And you know, I'm gonna go with the obvious Yoda, right?
Okay.
You gotta go with Yoda. He's gonna be the best. You just know it.
Yeah, he's gonna be so locked in on putts. Oh my god.
Yeah,
I mean, he's going to force his way in there. And when I say that, I mean,
But Yoda's not going to be a cheater, you know. He's just going to have great advice.
Yeah.
Number two. He's going to give you the best advice. He's going to tell you how.
Can I make a switch in mine? I meant to do this, forgot to do this. I'm getting rid of the Mandalorian. You can have him now, Brad. He's in yours.
No, then first.
Right, yeah, you know, let's do this.
If he's still there, then I'll keep him around.
All right. So my first one, because I feel like I could talk to him. Chewbacca. I feel like we'd have a great conversation. Maybe he could teach me a few things on his language. Be great.
And,
yeah. And then also General Akbar. Just because every time I hit it or somebody else hits it, all I can hear is, "It's a trap!" Thank you. I thought that was a good one. I thought about that for a while. My next one is General Grievous. I want to see what he has with those forearms. See if he can actually do something with them. Can he actually play golf?
All right.
Well, you mentioned, Aaron, you mentioned earlier Samuel L. Jackson, which is great, because our next game we wanted to play was I Give and I Raise. I give you a Samuel L. Jackson movie, I raise you a Samuel L. Jackson movie. So, Derek, since this was your brainchild, why don't you start us off here?
Okay. I like it. Thank you for the thrown right into the fire's den right now. Yes, I actually was prepared this entire time. So, I give you Jules from Pulp Fiction.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
And I raise you.
Not a surprise.
right? This one's going to surprise you all, though. Ordell Robbie, a.k.a. from Jackie Brown.
Okay. Two Quentin Tarantino movies. All right. I see you're Jackie Brown. And, Brad, I will raise you a deep blue sea.
Ooh, okay. I see your deep blue sea, and I raise you Elijah Price from Glass. Good movie.
Okay, Aaron?
I'm not going to lie, guys. One, I'm terrible at this, and two, I don't quite understand the correlation here.
To go on.
All right, I see your shaft, and I.
And I raise you, Nick Fury.
From
all the Marvel universe.
Okay.
Yeah. Just inked it there, Aaron.
I already forgot what you said, Brad. My bad. So I see that, and I raise you the Hateful Eight.
Ooh. Okay. Oh, all right.
Solid. I see your Hateful Eight, and I give you the Star Wars franchise, Mace Windu.
All right. Good.
Naturally. Got to go there.
That's cheating.
Well, how?
We have a different game, okay? You just happen to pick Mace Windu as one of your favorite characters.
Game, but it's all in the same wavelength.
Do you want me to come up with something else? Because I can.
I mean, listen, if they're not saying, but I'm just saying.
All right.
They're not saying, so...
I'm not going to say.
What is Joe saying?
I see your Mace Windu, and I raise you a Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Ooh. I see your Die Hard with a Vengeance, and I raise you Incredibles.
That's a good one. Nice. That's a good one. Aaron?
Okay, I see your Incredibles, and I raise you Snakes on a Plane.
That was the next one I wanted to come back with. All right.
Okay. I see your Snakes on a Plane, and I raise you SWAT.
Okay, solid. I see your SWAT, and I raise you The Other Guys.
Oh, that's right, who was in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
That's right, I forgot about that. All right, I see your Other Guys, and I raise you Kill Bill.
Solid, yeah.
Brad, that was the one I was going to go for.
Glad I got to it.
Okay, I see your Kill Bill, and I raise you a Jungle Fever.
All right.
Okay, all right. I see your Jungle Fever, and I raise you Jumper.
Okay.
Oh, man, I can't believe I just came up with that movie right now.
I see your Jumper, and I raise you I'm Over This Game. Let's move on.
Okay, thank you.
Darn it. All right. So, I got five on it, and I was thinking we could all just, offer one activity and maybe go around till the game gets stale, and then we'll just pick our top five from the group.
I'm fine with that, yeah.
So, as we mentioned...
Cornhole.
I've got a pretty good one.
Okay.
What do you got?
Now, so I'm going to say this, but it's tennis. Obviously, Serena Williams is the best tennis player on the planet, but it's kind of only like older, rich, white ladies that play it recreationally, you know?
Not fair.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Brad, you got one?
Golf. Okay, look at the tour.
Yeah.
Cornhole. That's
what about
You said cornhole.
Oh, I did say cornhole already.
Yeah. I like where you're going with this, Aaron.
Hiking. Hiking. Very white activity right there.
That's true. What about lacrosse?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That is very...
What about equestrian riding?
Ooh.
I'm not even white enough to know what the
equestrian's right.
Horseback riding is.
I mean, you could be a.
Oh, I got one. Frisbee golf.
There you go.
Black people do not play frisbee golf. Let me tell you.
We don't touch frisbees.
Yeah, that's not our.
We got to give a shout out to our station manager, G Money. Maybe he gave us a great one. Curling.
Oh yes, that.
Oh, could it get more white?
Yeah. That's...
Also, rock climbing.
Rock climbing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Anything else?
Maybe wakeboarding or something like that.
Water sports.
Any water sport, pretty much.
Yeah.
Well, swimming. You said you X-nayed that one. That's a water sport.
Okay. Thanks, Brad.
You're welcome. Game killer.
I'm talking about. Yeah, you really are. Let's say. Yeah. Okay. Water skiing, wakeboarding, all that is of the same vein.
Puzzles. That's a white activity right there.
That's fair.
Also, an old people's activity, mostly, I think, too. But yeah,
old white
bingo,
people.
Bingo.
I think that's an old white people thing too. Yeah. All right, I think we're good.
Yeah.
We gave you more than five, so how about that?
Enjoy them all, y'all.
Yeah, we're not going to count those down. I'm over this.
Keep it pushing, baby. Keep it pushing.
Oh, let's move on. We don't have much else, though.
No, we have some NFL news, though.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk a little.
Oh, yeah. I cannot, dude.
I actually did some
There's
study
also
on this
some
one.
UFC news, if anyone is interested.
Ooh, UFC.
Yeah, let's
do tell.
Yeah.
Let's start with that.
It's not huge. There is a fight this Saturday. It is. So they can continue to perform during this time. So there is going to be a fight. The people in your corner is going to be super limited. What the big news coming out of it is that Nurmagomedov is not going to be fighting, even though he was scheduled to, because, you know, you can't leave Russia.
Right.
Lions and tigers roam in the streets and stuff, so.
Them tigers, baby.
The big change.
It's rough. What you seem like you're itching to jump in here and talk some NFL, Derek.
On Andy Dalton, his redness is true redness.
I have a beard,
and
that's
Andy
what I have
Dalton, great looking redhead.
He's okay.
He signed a 1-year deal with the Cowboys. For those of you who don't know, you've kind of buried the lead there, talking about how good looking he is, and I'm kind of getting concerned for you. He ain't winning you a Super Bowl. No one with the name Stidham or Trubisky is going to be worth a damn, and that's just how it goes. Okay, Deshaun Watson, that is a professional quarterback name. Tom Brady, professional quarterback name. Cam Newton, professional quarterback name. Mitchell Trubisky,
backup,
doomed from the day he was born.
Yep. Career backup. That's his. I think that's where he's going to peak.
I mean, Mitch rhymes with
snitch, ditch.
Oh,
Kitch. Witch,
sitch.
Mm, all those. Rest in peace, Don Shula. I didn't mean to say it that flippantly. Wow. It's just I had to go for the joke there. Honestly,
it is kind of hard to take. I mean, not that John Shula we don't know and realize his greatness. We're not from Miami. He's not like a local hero to us. Yeah.
Of that undefeated Super Bowl team for the Miami Dolphins, and just obviously contributed so much to the game. But he was very definitely not breaking news, but. We had to get it in and give him, pay him a little respect, even though I started off with kind of a joke.
Pretty sure he can go like six seasons going 0-16, and he'd still have a winning record.
That's crazy. Bill Belichick still hasn't passed him for wins. He's all-time winningest head coach in NFL history as well. So there's that. It's never fun when someone dies, especially a legend. But it's even less fun to talk about when they're 90. I'm just going to be real. Like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying here, but I just, you know.
Belichick is behind by 43 wins. So
yeah,
that's a lot of seasons.
If you went 16-0, that would take him. No, let's not do math on air. I'm going to stop right now.
Let's see Derek do math on air. This is my favorite part of the show.
I'm stopping.
It'd be
right
about.
Now. It'd be three seasons.
Yeah, it'd be under three. Yeah.
Under three.
Under
three seasons.
If he went 16-0.
If he went 16-0. Yeah. He's probably going to go. Oh, he's got a better chance of going 0-16
in the next 4 years, maybe five. He'll pass him.
All right. Well, anyway.
There you go. That's a great sports talk.
Yeah, sports. There you go. We did our best. Aaron, as always, we appreciate you being with us. To our listeners, thank you for tolerating us.
Biggest takeaways, y'all. Pat Riley, daddy.
Zaddy.
And Annie Dalton, good-looking redhead.
I think that one's debatable, but we can talk about that off air. We'll argue about it off air and bring it back next week.
Aaron, Annie Dalton, good-looking redhead, yes or no?
I mean, the bar, I guess, is pretty low for redheads.
That's kind of the point I'm making, but yeah.